So, you guys, I am excited. Okay, anybody know what the word bittersweet means? Can you guys tell me? What does bittersweet mean? Yes, Alec? Happy but sad. Or if you go by the actual word, like sad but happy, because bitter's first. Get it? Like sad but sweet, like bitter but happy but sad. Okay. Tonight, this weekend, is a super bittersweet time for me. Actually, the whole, like, just kind of time of life I'm in right now, like, this season of like, transitioning is super bittersweet for me. I'm excited. I get to see some new things. I'm going to be moving. I get to kind of experience a new culture and a new place and new things with my family. But it's so bitter for me because, like, this right here is my favorite time of week. Not when I'm teaching, but like when we're here together. And if you guys don't know it, like this is just so you know, I work here during the week and I have an office and I have a desk and a computer and I do stuff and I email people and I call parents and I like talk to people and do all these things, right? But my favorite part of the week is when we are here, like right about 5:30, because that's when you guys start showing up and we're out here playing these games and we're in this room and we're hanging out. And you guys worshiping, like my favorite thing to do is stand right back there and just watch you guys worship. And I just really love this part of my job. Like, I love to hang out with you guys. And so it always seems weird if someone's like, I'm moving and I'm going to miss you. You're like, well, then why are you moving? Then don't move and you won't miss me. But it's true is sometimes I feel like just God brings us to a point where we have to do what he's calling us to do. And sometimes that means that you're going to do some hard things, which is walk away from people that you love and walk away from things and a job and friends that you love. And so that's where I'm in right now. And so tonight is actually the last time I'll be teaching on a Saturday night. That'll be like up here teaching. Next weekend is my last weekend, but we'll just kind of hang out and high-five each other the whole hour. Like that's all we're going to do next week for 60 minutes is just high-fives. So at the end of that, we're just going to be like, ow, my hand hurts. Why'd we high-five for an hour? I'm just joking. We're not going to do that. You're all, well, then I'm not coming. I don't even like high-fives. I'm done. No, but this will be my last week in teaching. So here's what I thought. If this is my last week in teaching, I'm going to take advantage of my time that I have. And I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to say the things I want to say to you. Like you know, I'm angry, and I'm going to tell you guys why. No, I'm just joking. I'm not. That'd be funny. What if I just was like a jerk tonight? You're all, huh, that's weird. Kind of glad you're leaving, Josh. No, I want to take tonight, though, and I just want to talk to you guys, and I want to tell you the things I want to tell you. Like, this is my last time I get to like, get up here and say the things that I want you to hear. As an adult, whether I'm an adult or not, my age says I'm an adult, okay? So, as an adult, as a 33-year-old grown man that is married with two kids, I have some things I want to say to 13, 14-year-old students, you guys, that I hope is true of you and I want you to hear, and so I'm going to say that tonight. But here's the good thing. There's this story in the Bible, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, that I think we can learn so much from. And so instead of me just talking to you, I want to read this story, and I want you guys to follow along if you have a Bible, and then we're going to sit here and go, okay, that story took place thousands of years ago. How does that relate to my life today in 2014? And what can we learn from it? And why do I care about telling you about it? Well, you'll see. So if you have your Bibles, go to this. 2 Kings. We're going to start in chapter 21. Okay, how often do we go to like 2 Kings in church? It's like, that's Old Testament stuff way back there. Okay, go to 2 Kings. If you do not have a Bible, like if you don't own a Bible, you are not allowed to leave here without having one. We will give you one. I'm going to write your name in it. I'm going to put like a little high five thing on there, and then you can have it. It's yours forever, okay? I don't know, just like a picture of a hand. So anytime you open it, you're like, oh, high five, Josh. Then people around you are going to look at you and go, they're weird. Okay. 1 Kings 21. I got to jump in because I got a kind of big portion to read tonight. If you don't have your Bible, just follow along with me. This is going to be good. We're going to learn from it, and I'm going to get to say a couple things that I hope we can learn from it, and I hope you guys take away. Here we go. I'm going to start in chapter 21 of 2 Kings. In my Bible, it's page 328, so somewhere around there in your Bible. Like, it's like right here, this far forward, right here, okay? Look, like this far. All right. 2 Kings 21, here we go. Manasseh
was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah. You guys, I'm just reading the Bible, okay? This is one of the parts of the Bible that's awesome. Like, can I just recommend something to you guys, just for future reference? When you, in like 10, 15 years, decide to have a family and have kids, will you please go to the Old Testament, like somewhere in like 1st, 2nd Chronicles, and just pick a name out of there and name your kid that? Like, if I have a girl, I'm going to name her Hephzibah. Call her Heph for short. No, I won't do that. That'd be terrible. Just so you know, here's what's happening. We're reading about the kings of Israel. We are reading about the different kings through the history of the nation of Israel. Now remember, the nation of Israel was a nation, it was a people set aside by God. He said, "You are my people." He called them like his own. And so we're going through a lineage, a story of some of the kings of the nation of Israel. And it's here. Now we're talking about a man named Manasseh. He started ruling when he was 12 years old. How many of you guys are 12 or older right now? Yeah, everybody. Okay, this guy started, he was the king of a nation when he was your age. Okay, verse 2. And he, here we go, getting into some good stuff. And he, Manasseh, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the despicable practices of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. Okay, so this guy Manasseh did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, I want you to skip down to verse 10. It says, "And the Lord said by his servants, the prophets," this is what the prophets said, "because Manasseh, king of Judah, has committed these abominations and has done these things more evil than all that the Amorites did, who were before him, and he has made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel." Okay, so this is what God is going to say, because Manasseh has done what is evil in his sight, and because he has taken his people and he has caused them to sin too. This is what God says. The Lord says this: "Behold, I am bringing upon Jerusalem and Judah such disaster that the ears of everyone who hears of it will tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the measuring line of Samaria and the plumb line of the house of Ahab. And I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down." Now, that's a lot of stuff that we're not even going to like try to mess with there today. We're going to keep going. He says, "And I will forsake the remnant of my heritage and give them into the hand of their enemies." So because of Manasseh and the evil he is doing, God says he's going to give that nation into the hands of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done what is evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came out of Egypt, even to this day. So he says, basically, since the time of Moses, which in this time was like a long, long time ago, since that time and Moses brought them out of Egypt, the Lord has never been so angry at somebody or at his people, the nation of Israel, as he was at this moment with Manasseh. This guy was bad. Like, he did terrible things. It says that he did more terrible, more evil than an entire group of people combined. Okay, all of that to say, I want you to know one thing. Manasseh was a bad dude. All right? He was a terrible guy. He reigned 55 years. He took a whole nation of people and he like helped them and caused them to sin and to do what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. He took a whole group of people, a whole nation, and said, "No, we're not going to do that. This is what we're going to do." And it was evil. So then his son, now go down to 18 or 19. We're going to learn about Amon. Amon was Manasseh's son. And it says, when he was 22 years old, Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Meshulamith. Wait, that's wrong. Hold on. Meshulamith, also a really good name. The daughter of Haruz of Jobath, also good names. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord as Manasseh, his father, had done. He walked in the way in which his father walked and served the idols that his father served and worshiped them. He abandoned the Lord, the God of his fathers, and did not walk in the way of the Lord. Okay, so we've got two guys. We got Manasseh and we got Amon, right? They are kings of Judah. They are the kings. They are the leaders. There's nobody above the king, right? They are kings. And they are doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And they are both walking in that way. They are both doing evil. Now, we're going to go down to chapter 22. Josiah is Amon's son. Okay, so Manasseh was Josiah's grandpa, right? Grandpa Manasseh, and then his dad was Amon, and now we got Josiah, his son, who, remember, Josiah is inheriting two, like, the generations. He's inheriting his grandfather doing evil and his dad doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And so then here's Josiah. Now listen to this. This is awesome. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Okay, everybody, real quick, go back to when you were 8 years old, okay? Go back to 8 years, all that time ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, 6 years ago, okay? Remember, when you were 8 years old, were you ready to be in charge of anything? No. You probably lost your Legos. Mom was like, hey, go to the fridge and get some water. And you're like, I don't know how to do that, Mom. Hey, go make mac and cheese. Ah! Like at 8 years old, I wasn't able to do anything. I was barely making my bed. Like, clean your room was like, oh my gosh, what? Clean all of it? When he was 8, he became king. Hey, are cartoons on? Yes, your majesty. He was king at 8. Okay, I want to make sure we understand. Okay, so his mother's name, now we're talking about Josiah. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah. Oh, there's an H at the end. Of Bozkath. And he did, here we go, verse 2. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And he walked in all the way of David, his father, and he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. Okay, so here's Josiah. King Josiah, 8 years old, takes over. And Josiah, it says that he did right in the line of David. And it says his father, which if that's confusing, the way they say things is remember, Amon was his father, but they are from the line of David. So David would be considered one of his forefathers. Forefathers, F-O-R-E, fathers, not F-O-U-R, fathers. Like, I have four fathers? Oh, who are the other three? I just know one. No, forefathers, like before. A little lesson in spelling. So here's King Josiah at 8. And the Bible says that King Josiah made the decision to walk in the ways of the Lord. It says that he did not waver. He did not go off the path right or go off the path left, but did and walked in the ways of the Lord. Okay, let's keep reading. I'm going to skip all the way down to verse 8. It says, and Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, really good names, you guys. He says this. He says, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan, the secretary, came to the king and reported to the king, your servants had emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord. Then Shaphan, the secretary, told the king, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. And when Shaphan read it before the and Shaphan read it before the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Can you guys imagine? I'm like reading the Bible and I'm like, ah! I didn't plan that. I promise. I planned that like just now. Only because I had this shirt. It would have been wear a t-shirt. Ah! Oh, no. What do I do? Josiah, he tore his clothes, and the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Achbor, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan, the secretary, and Asaiah, the king's servant. I'm not trying to make fun of the names. I just cannot say them. Said, go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of the book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written in the commandments. So, concerning us. So, Josiah says this. He hears the words and he's literally, it says he's tearing, he tore his clothes because that was a way for them to like mourn because he's reading it and he's going, no! No, we have done everything against what the book of the law tells us to do. My father and my grandfather have gone against this. No, because they didn't have a copy of the book. I mean, literally, his grandfather Manasseh, he ruled for, it says 55 years. One of the things he tried to do was get rid of all the, it was called the Book of the Law, which is the first five books of the Bible, right? The Pentateuch. And one thing he tried to do, that was what the Lord handed down to Moses and said, Moses, this is how you shall live. Here are my commandments. And Moses, it's recorded. We still have it to this day. But Manasseh tried to get rid of them. He wanted to get rid of all of that. And it says that they found it. And Josiah tore his clothes because he understood. He goes, no, we've done everything. Great is the Lord's wrath, and we've done everything that this book has said not to do. Real quick, I want to end right here with this. It says, I want to end with this section right here. I'm going to go to 18. It says, but to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. So this is how God responds to Josiah when he's so like broken over the fact that they have gone so far from the Lord. This is what it says. It says, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was penitent and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse. And you have torn your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will bring upon this place. The Lord had mercy on King Josiah. Here's what I picture happening. Here's where I think we can learn from this. Josiah inherited a kingdom that if we had to picture, like let's say we're right here, and if we make a decision to live our life and to walk in the ways that are going this way, this is the path we're going to choose for our life. And here's another option, another path. This path is evil and leads to destruction, and this path is good and is walking in the ways of the Lord. And for 57 years, Josiah's father and grandfather were taking an entire nation of people and walking down this path. For 57 years, an entire nation of people. Not just like, dude, you know what? I'm out. This is stupid. I'm going to do my own thing. And they go and do this. No, they were kings. They took the entire nation of Judah and said, we are going to go this way. This is what we're going to do. And they took them and they walked in. They said they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Here comes little Josiah, 8 years old. Little Josiah. No, wait, stop. No, wait, stop. This isn't right. This is the way of the Lord. This is what is good and what is right. No, stop. Everybody, go back this way. We're going. This is the way. This is the path we're going to walk. Little 8-year-old Josiah starts this
march down the righteous path. And I think about our culture today, and I think about the world that we live in. And I think about the things and the pressures that you as a junior high student face every single day, and the messages that you hear every single day, that your worth is based on your outward appearance. Your worth, your self-worth is based on how many friends you have. And I think about all of these messages that you face, how many likes you can get on Instagram and Facebook and whatever. How many this, how many that, and how your identity is formed from what it seems like to me on a culture that is telling you all these things of your worth. It seems like to me that this culture is walking this way. That they are actually doing what is not good in the sight of the Lord. That they would actually say, no, your outward appearance is what is important, not who you are, not who your character is. Your popularity is more important than your character. There are so many messages and there's so many ways that you guys have faced every single day in this culture that seem to me, just looking in on it, and I face them too, you guys, at 33, I face them every single day too. They seem to me that they want us to walk this way. That our culture says, this is the way we're going. And we don't care if it's evil in the sight of the Lord. We don't care if it goes against what God wants for us. We're going to do it anyways. And my question is, and what I believe to be true, is how many Josiahs do we have in this room? How many junior high students do we have that are going to stop and go, wait, no. You will not tell me who I am. You will not define who I am. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to play that game. No, I'm not going to care about that. No, I'm not going to make fun of that kid. No, I'm not going to go bully those kids. No, I'm not. I'm not going to care about being popular. No, that's not, no, I'm going this way. I'm going this way. Is it going to cost you friends? Yeah. Is it going to cost you popularity? Probably. Is it going to make people maybe say funny stuff about you and go, dude, that kid's weird? Maybe. You know, I noticed that he's different. The way he talks to people, the way he treats people, he doesn't make fun of the kids we make fun of. There's things he doesn't do. He doesn't watch certain TV shows when we try to watch them, or he doesn't go see movies, or he doesn't listen to a certain kind of music, or he doesn't go play a certain kind of video game, or they don't text and do these things that we do, and he doesn't use this one app, or he doesn't do these things, and people might talk about you, and you might not be popular. But I am hoping that you guys don't care about that. It's hard. I would never get up here and say, hey, just, you know what, you guys should follow Jesus because it's so easy, super easy. It's really easy, actually. It's the best thing. It's always awesome. No, you know what? Sometimes it's hard. And sometimes when I do things, it's not popular with my friends. And I don't know what it was like when King Josiah did that, but I can imagine as a young man, the age that some of you guys are in here, when he is saying, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do this. This is the way I'm going to live my life. And nobody could decide for King Josiah, and nobody can decide for you. Like you have to make the decision. It's a decision that only you can make. It's a decision that only you can just go, you know what? I'm done with that. And if I can have you guys hear anything, like, this is it. I would hope that if I were to, like, come back in 4 years, like, I come back, and it's like, man, we have a room full of Josiahs in here that have defied the culture and said that we won't allow people at school and we won't allow people around us to define who we are, but instead, the book This is the book he's talking about, you guys. Like, this is the book that Josiah tore his clothes over because he read it and he was like, oh! Now, there's this thing called the New Testament, and this thing, Jesus, this person of Jesus that came in and grace was given to us and was lavished on us. And when he died on the cross, there's these rules. We're no longer defined by these rules, but grace has come into the picture, and it's a beautiful thing. And here's what my hope would be. As junior high students, that you guys would go, this here is going to be what defines me and who I am. I'm going to let this thing teach me about life and guide me. I'm not going to let some stupid TV show or some dumb magazine tell me who I am from people that don't even care about me. But this. If I can just, like, here's what I want for you guys more than anything. I want a few things. I want you guys to follow Jesus, and I want you guys to know him and love him. Like, I care about that for you more than anything. I care about that for my kids more than anything. Like, I don't care if Ethan and Micah are the two most unpopular kids in the entire school, but if they love Jesus, that's awesome. Like, I don't care. I just want them to follow Jesus. That's all. Let me encourage you in this way, too. Have the right voices in your life. You need to have the right people that are, like, feeding into you and saying things to you. If you hang out with a bunch of people that do nothing but bring you down and make you more of a punk or more of a girl that everybody else is like, dude, she is mean, then stop hanging out with those people. Get around people that are going to build you up and encourage you. Get around people that are going to help you become a better person. They're going to make you more like Jesus than around people that are just going to make you more of a punk. Because the truth is, nobody likes a punk. All right, I'm 33. I remember the punks that I was around in high school, and at one time I was a punk, and nobody likes me because of that. Get around the right voices. And guess what? There are a ton of adults in this room and in this ministry that are the right voices, that care about you guys and love you and just want you to, like, follow Jesus more, and they want what's best for you. Get around the right voices. Like King Josiah, my hope is that you would be a group full of students that go against the grain. You have a choice. I'm going this way. I'm going to live for myself because I think I know what's best. I'm going to do what the culture says. I think I know what's best for my life because I created me. No, I didn't. Wait, but I don't care if, God, you created me. I still think I know what's best, so I'm going this way. Or I'm going this way. And I'm going to follow the Lord. And it's going to be a battle every single day, but it's going to be good. I just hope that for you guys. If anything, I just want you guys to know Jesus. He changed my life. He's still changing my life every day. But he wants to change yours too. Because he loves us and he cares about us. And he loves you and he went to the cross for you, which is something we'll never fully understand. But trust me, it's good. Guys, this has been, I get next week too, so I don't have to, like, cry right now. This has been a really fun 5 years. I know I've only had you guys for a couple years, but man, how fun is this? Like, I get to come up here every single week and just talk to you guys about something that I think really, really, really matters. Like Jesus. If I thought there was something more important than that, I would talk to you about that, but I don't. So I get to come up here and I get to talk to you about this. And I just hope and pray that you guys would see that and that would become really important to you too. Like, that's all I want for you. You guys, you know what? I love game time. I love video of the week. I love Nine Square. I love all these things we do. But those things are, like, so, like, compared to what it is to follow Jesus. And if you read this, this is where we learn about him. Like, his story is right here. And it's an incredible story of what he has done to come to have a relationship with you and me. And it's good. And I hope you guys do that. Let me pray for you guys, and then we are going to get out of here. God, you're good to us. God, thanks for the story of King Josiah. What like a cool story of this little kid who goes against the grain, who makes a decision to go against the popular thing of his day, that makes a decision to go against his culture and where his father and his grandfather were leading the people. But God, he goes the other way and he says, no, this is how it's going to be. And he comes back to you, the Lord. God, I pray that this room would be full of young men and young women who go against the grain, who make a decision and say, I'm going to follow the Lord first and foremost. And God, that these would be a bunch of little disciples, a bunch of disciples. And God, that you would change our heart and change them. And God, that they would understand your love and your grace. God, thanks for being so good. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for giving us this word that we have it. And thank you for these students. And it is in Jesus' name that we prayed. And everybody said, amen. Amen.